Hello, Pastor Ed Rice here. We're in Gatesville, Texas, and I wanted to get a Bible study in that we had slated for our Wednesday prayer time. It's going to be out of Daniel in chapter 7. We're down here staying with my oldest son, Michael, for a few days, and I wanted to go ahead and get this Bible study in. If I could, again, and we've got a lot of interesting things to do. We're in this hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference, and so I wanted to go ahead and continue on in that theme, and we'll pick up our study here in Daniel chapter 7. I trust, again, this should be broadcast and done before the our Wednesday evening prayer service tonight at 7 o'clock at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. So I invite you to be there or tune in for that Bible study tonight. I will not be there. I'll be at a prayer meeting down here in Gatesville Baptist Church. And so appreciate again that we could go ahead and connect in this way. Praise the Lord. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel begins in this light. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by the night and beheld the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Let's go ahead and pray over God's word. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we could study it. And thank you again, Father, for our hunt for the last October. And Father, for your blessing as we would pursue that study of biblical prophecy. We'll praise you now and thank you for your blessing on these scriptures, that they'd be sharper than any two-edged sword and divide the thoughts and intents of our heart, and that we'll give you all the praise, asking this in the name of Christ and for his name's sake. The Bible says again here in Daniel chapter 7, as we look at that.
I'm trying not to be persistent.
Oh, that's fine. We got the family coming in today here, so appreciate again interruptions. Praise the Lord. We've also got several dogs running around here that will probably interrupt a couple times as well. So here in Daniel chapter 7, we have the first indication in the book of Daniel anyway, and I had to sent out a chart. I'll try and make sure I get it up on our Facebook account, but we've given it out at church. Of the dreams of Daniel that has chapter 2, chapter 7, 8, 9, and then chapter 10 through 12. And each of them, again, has a little square for where it talks about Babylon, where it talks about Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And then it talks about the revived Roman Empire. And then it talks about the abomination of desolation mentioned in Daniel, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. On my chart in times gone by, I had labeled that Antichrist, but the true name is the abomination of desolation. So, and then lastly, the Messianic Kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 is Daniel's dream, as I read in the introduction. And notice again that there, there is coverage of all of these events. It's got, again, a beast for the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greece, and the Rome, and even the revived Rome in verses 8, 20, 24, 26. And so we're going to look at this chapter and understand that a beast is a man. It's not some beast, again, that comes. It's not some angel half-breed crossed with man, as some people errantly teach. It's not a creature. It is a man. And notice you can see that in the first few verses here. I like Daniel 7 because it tells you a little bit about how to interpret these visions. So let's go ahead and look at the chapter, starting there in verse 4. And he's describing again what he saw in his visions and what he had written down. And so he says here in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 7, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." And so these beasts, as they're described here, are again men who are leaders, are kings, as it says later. It describes them as kings, but they are controlled by a beast that we would consider an old dragon, old Satan. And so again, these are men who are in the control of Satan, and or under the influences of Satan, as they're also under the influences of God. You think about Nebuchadnezzar, you think about Alexander the Great of Greece, you think about Darius of the Medo-Persian Empire. And so these are again described here, and envisioned here. Actually, they are a scripture imagery again of these great leaders. And so we're just kind of going to skip over the four beasts and go straight again to the last beast here that begins in chapter 7 and verse 8. Notice again that these verses describe the beasts and describe, you can visualize there how they are men controlled by evil, controlled by Satan, and allowed by God. And so notice here in verse 8, it says, "I considered the..." After this, verse 7, I'm sorry. "After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had a great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." I like to point out that when we look at these descriptions and these visions in the Word of God, especially comparing Daniel to particularly Revelation chapter 17, there's parallels that exactly lined up. And so here we have these 10 horns. In Revelation there's 17, there's 10 kings, and we see an alliance between the biblical imagery that's given here in Daniel and the imagery that's explained in greater detail in the revelation of Jesus Christ. It goes on, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." And so we said again that these beasts are men, and here we find the first one that fits this little horn description, fits very well with the abominations of desolations that's described by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew in chapter 24. Notice here that each of the periods are given in visions, but now we see an introduction to this abomination of desolation, and we also see a reference to the coming messianic kingdom here in chapter 7. And so as we study chapter 7, it is again gives some insights to this little horn. Now is a description of, or a scriptural imagery of, the end times abomination of desolation. Notice verse 9 says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Again, the imagery here is striking, that it gives, again, the pictures that's given in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And notice again that these thrones were cast down. And this is the Ancient of Days. This has shown up in a previous dream in chapter 2 of Daniel when the Ancient of Days is mentioned. And so this is none other than God himself. And the description again given lines up with Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and the throne that appears there to John the Apostle. Verse 10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Look at this. Thousands, a thousand thousands ministered unto him. A thousand thousands. A thousand would be 30. A thousand thousands would be 60. We're talking about 1,000,000 unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000. 10,000, let's see, is 10,000 is 4 zeros, and 10,000 times 10,000 is going to be 8 zeros again, if I got my math right. And these stood before him. And so there again is the millions that are present. And judgment was set, and the books were opened. There's a line directly again repeated in the revelation of Jesus Christ for the great judgment, the white throne judgment, at the end of all the world and at the beginning of all of eternity. Verse 11, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And so we see here again this abomination of desolation, this a beast, as it were, that's described in here and in chapter, not only here in chapter 8, but in chapter 9, we see it again in chapter 10 through 12. We see it mentioned again. And so notice again, the scripture says, and verse 13, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And certainly we find there again is the kingdom and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that appears in Revelation chapter 17 and again on a white horse in Revelation chapter 19. This is the king that's coming to take control of the whole earth, and he will rule this earth for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Christ. And so, again, these things all fit together succinctly and in a pattern and with the same verbiage, the same use of the English language, if you're using a King James Bible that was careful, again, to tie the wording of the Old Testament to the wording of the New Testament and show how well they align. Modernist ecumenical Bibles, not so much. In fact, I'd steer you completely away from modernist ecumenical Bibles where men put together what they thought God meant to say rather than given the actual words of God as he said them. Look at verse 15 in chapter 7 of Daniel. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now we have, again, the truth laid out here. That's another reason why we love Daniel chapter 7, because it not only lays out the visions, but it lays out the interpretation. It lays out the truth of it. People often say to me, well, that's your interpretation. No, I'm just reading the book. Again, God gives the interpretation. God says what he means. He means what he says. And notice here, again, as he goes on, start there in verse 17, to give the truth of them. In my Bible, you can't see it there, but in my Bible, I have highlighted out everything again for the different periods of Christ's first advent, his second advent, his kingdom. And the kingdom is all outlined in my Bible, again, in a green colored pencil. And so, again, you can read down through here and find out from here, verse 17 all the way down to verse 27. It's talking about this kingdom age, according to Schofield's excellent notes. And so let's go ahead and pick that up and look at the truth and the interpretation of the visions of this beast now that we said was the abomination of desolations. Verse 17 says, these great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And so we greatly appreciate the fact that there is coming the end of all this, where, again, we have a forever and ever. And, again, notice who, again, was already mentioned for the glory and dominion that was going to be given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up before, whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth which spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And so notice here again that we have this war again mentioned with the saints. And notice here that this beast prevails against them. That's talking again about that tribulation period, 7 years of the great tribulation. And again, there's going to be martyrs, there's going to be victories, there's going to, remember that again, the first seal in the revelation of Jesus Christ shows a white horse coming to conquer, and there's a one world government through all that time. And then I like verse 22, until it says, the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. There's the whole world kingdom, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. We can see the beginning of that unto our senile president right now with his Marxist ideologies, and see again that they are in for destruction, and their purpose is the destruction, and they are guided and directed by Satan himself, as these beasts are. And so things are going to wax worse and worse in these last days, and we can already taste them unfolding. Verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings. Those ten kings are given again in Revelation 17. That shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given under the hand until the time and times of the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion and consume and to destroy it unto the end. Notice how that verse 26 is worded. But the judgment shall sit. That, again, is the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes as the judge of this world, and he's coming. He's coming as a redeemer. He's going to meet us, Christians, believers, born-again believers, in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 2 Corinthians chapter 15, when he cries as a voice of a trumpet that says, come up hither, Revelation chapter 4. And so, again, here is a judgment coming against the beast. Listen, there's more. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's a description again of the millennial reign of Christ given in that great detail. Verse 28, here too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And so as we're studying these things, Daniel chapter 7 is insightful again to given this time, and notice again that it's broken into time, times, and half a time here in this chapter, that this beast, this kingdom, whose abomination of desolation, takes control of the world, brings it to total destruction again. And it fits right in again with the revelation of Jesus Christ and with the end times. And finally, in chapter 16, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the vial of the wrath of God that's poured out upon this whole world. And so, as we look again at Daniel chapter 7, it is, as I said, the first chapter that represents all of these time periods, the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greece and the Rome, and the revived Roman empires. And it also has one who gives the interpretation and the explanation to Daniel, who records them for our understanding. And so Daniel chapter 7. Learn it, be familiar with it, and understand. We don't have places to put maybe all of these again, but we'll go ahead and look, Lord willing, this next Sunday at the Revelation chapter 17, which is the last of seven parentheticals given in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it will again shed a bunch of light here on what's given in Daniel in chapter 7. And so there's our first glimpse at this abomination of desolation. And as we study these things again, I trust again that they'd be a blessing to us and encouragement to us. So I'm down here at the garden of the front lawn of Mike's, I'm going to call it a compound again, that he has down here in Gatesville, Texas. And I appreciate again that we could touch base and continue on in this study of the last things. Father, thank you and praise you. I do thank you for our little church, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and pray again, Father, even as I'm out for a couple weeks, Father, that you'd bless. Hear the prayers of your saints tonight. Father, there's troubles and there's toils and there's things going on in our lives that you could step in and just calm the sea and calm those waves, stop the wind, cause again that we'd have peace with you. We do thank you for that. Pray again that you'd intervene now. Thank you for our study of the last things. Thank you for our hunt for the last October. And Father, I'm thinking that we're standing in it right now. And so I pray again, Father, that you fulfill the promise even given by the Apostle John, the last prayer of your book, even so come, Lord Jesus. We stand in awe of the detail you've given us about what's going to happen in these last days. We want to thank you, Father, that we're not appointed to wrath, but we're again appointed to be with you. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, your word says. And I thank you, Father, even in perilous times, even in troublous times, that we could again just have a peace that passes all understanding. Help us to be your witnesses. I pray again that you'd continue to confound the Jehovah false witnesses, but cause again, Father, that we could be witnesses of your Son and his saving grace to all peoples. Pray that you'd bless now in our time away, even, and Father, pray that you'd bless in our ministry there at Good Samaritan, and hear our prayer and touch in a special way. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and for his name's sake we ask. Amen. Amen. All right. I look forward to seeing you, even if it's on Facebook account, at our prayer meeting of the Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And Lord bless you again for tuning in today, and that we could again go remote and get some of this information to you. It says here I got 3 more minutes.